in 3, 2, 1. Can I get a oh yeah? Welcome into the talk shop, guys. It's Tyler.
I'm Lauren.
And it's Peter.
And I was probably ruptured a couple of eardrums with that intro, but you know what? It's all
I'm a little
good.
Ashamed of myself now.
I didn't think you'd actually do it.
Hey. It worked,
but
and y'all.
I had to.
Yeah, I felt kind of forced.
You have to.
I don't know.
I mean,
every time he says that anywhere, I'm like, oh yeah.
It's a roll call thing, you know. Like, it's just what it is.
Really, you guys are at Walmart, Lauren. Oh yeah.
Sometimes I would hear him from like the bedroom, and I'm in the living room or something. He's like, oh yeah. So I have to do it back.
Not doing anything sus. It's just an impulse thing.
I guess this is the bond. You guys have from living together now.
Well, I mean, even when we weren't living together, he would just say it to himself, but he doesn't expect me to say it back. He's just like, what?
So one of those, like, you accidentally said out loud things?
Yeah, I mean, I could be like...
And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, fuck that.
I can call Lauren's name like 10 times. She won't say anything, right? But I'll just be like, oh, yeah. And then next day I know she, like, somewhere in the house, outside in the backyard, just, oh, yeah. It's like, yo, what the fuck? You hear that? But not your name.
Yeah, what is name?
That was big exaggeration, but y'all get my point. anyways, guys, welcome to season 11. This is, the opener for this new season.
We're season 11 already?
Yeah, crazy, huh?
That's
a lot of seasons.
Yeah.
It's a lot of seasons.
It's way too many fucking seasons.
Did you have to count?
I did.
To see where we were?
Yeah. I always forget. The only thing that I, like, because, like, when I edit the episodes, I go, like, oh, it's like, oh, it's season 10, and now, like, keep reminding myself every week what season it is, and then like if we take a little break and then I'm like, oh shit, what season are we on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because we don't name them anymore.
No,
we name them.
Oh, we do name them.
We just don't number them.
Yeah, we don't number them.
Oh, we just number them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But this is season 11, first episode. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for listening all this time to our fucking rambles of nonsense. Sometimes
tangents.
Nonsense. Tangents. But, you know, figured, you know, we'll get the crowd what y'all want. Seems like y'all just really like us talking about food.
Yeah. We had some complaints. Some people said, well, how many dirty episodes do we be having?
So, yeah.
I didn't realize we were doing dirty eps.
Yeah.
We don't do dirty eps. Not
I don't
recently.
Call it dirty eps.
No, you know? It's just.
Some people are just a little bit more censored than others.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fucking sensitive ass motherfuckers.
I said censored, not sensitive.
Oh, my bad.
Now you're just taking shots.
Hurt.
Just shooting strays.
Hey, this is why podcasting is an American thing. There's a freedom of speech here. We talk about whatever we want with consequences.
Yes.
Anyways, y'all, back to the main topic of the day. We are talking about food for y'all. We're talking, you know, just ranking, not ranking, but like, you know, it is AAPI month. So we got to give a shout out to all of our Asian brothers and sisters and business owners out there, you know, we're going to talk about what we know best, which is food. Somehow that's what we know best, I guess, because we just eat a lot and stuff, but it's all good. So what we're going to do is we're just going to, you know, kind of do like a little state of the union, right? Like we're just going to name a group of people, like with no racial intent behind it, but
just the food and beverages.
And then we're going to, you know, we're going to give our thoughts and opinions about like where we feel like it fits into like Asian American society, right? Or like American society, right? We can't talk on like what's going on in the motherlands of these countries, but here we are in America. We see things from like ground level. So we're going to talk about what's like where these foods are at culturally, and go from there and like bring up bigger discussions if there are any. But
yeah. And I don't think any of us are saying we dislike any of these foods, because these are all foods we normally eat, like almost.
Yeah.
I don't want to say day to day, but like maybe on a weekly basis, like Asian food, right? But I think we were just saying like on our opinions of like if we were to categorize or tier them in our preference, like which ones we choose over the other. So don't take it the wrong way and be like, oh, we hating.
Yeah, we still
on your
eat them.
Culture's food. It's like we still scarfing it down. But, you know, it's like on a day to day, like if you to like, you know, flip a coin, which one am I going to pick? Well, I guess not flip a coin, but like if you to ask me which one I'm going to pick, I'm you know. I'm gonna have my favorites.
There's gonna be. It's just constructive criticism. That's all it really is. At the end of the day, we're not harping down on nobody. We're not saying one culture is better than another. We're just asking and talking about the whys of like they are the way they are. So, it is what it is, right? Things are either gonna be based on facts or they're gonna be based on our personal opinions. So don't get us twisted.
Or
don't,
our experiences.
Don't cancel us. Yes, our experiences. But what country you want to point to first on the map, man? Like,
shit. I don't know. What's a, let's talk about Chinese food then.
All right. Kick it off. Okay. Yeah. The big one, right? Yeah. I think. Chinese food, I guess I can give a little background of what I know so far about Chinese food, and y'all can fill in on this. But from what I know, like, I think Chinese food has taken a very interesting direction, very interesting change in, like, in America specifically. It used to be heavily like the Cantonese food, right? Like the Southern Chinese foods, because it's like historically that's what came first, right? All of these like your Chinese American foods that y'all like probably know and grow up to know, like you got your Panda Express orange chickens, you got your egg foo youngs, you got your mushu porks, you got these things that Chinese people don't even know what the hell it is. But like, I think what it is like it's had its run. Like, it's been decades of this stuff, generations of like Chinese American chefs making this stuff, and like countless restaurants are like, they have this stuff on the menu, right? But I think with the new wave of immigrants, specifically coming from like the Sichuan province, or like from the Dongbei province, or from like Beijing, there's like a new standard of what Chinese food is, especially here in San Francisco or like in the Bay Area, right? Like, if people say Chinese food, they're not thinking about Panda Express. They're thinking about like dumplings. Like, people are like, oh, let's go get some Chinese food, let's go get some dumplings, right? And so like, I think that like Chinese food is definitely taking that kind of a directional turn, where it's not a lot of like your chow mains, fried rices, chow funs. It's more like dumplings, hand pulled noodles, or like mala spice stuff. Like so many people know about this stuff more than they know about others. So, personal opinion, I think Chinese food is taking a direction for the better. Like, it's more upscale. But feel free to chime in on that.
Well, I think for Chinese food, you know, for me being not Chinese, but you know, very, I mean, it's all my parents like to eat. Not just Chinese food, but they only eat like Asian food. So yeah. I mean, Chinese has always been like the middle ground, right? And then like Tyler said, I do think it's on like the up and up, because Chinese food, you guys have like so much food options, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not just more than just like the egg noodles, the noodle dishes, the rice dishes, whatever, or stir fry. Like, you got the dumplings now, you got like more, I mean, fucking dumplings are stupid expensive now because it's hype.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, you guys are like, people are learning more about Chinese food than it's just like Panda or like the hot steam table foods.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, I think like Chinese food is like great and stuff, but it's just like, it like hits home because it's like a comfort food too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to hit the spot. Like, I don't know if it's going to wow you every time, but like, if you know you're getting one thing from, like, if you're getting a dish from one place and you get the same dish from another place, more likely than not, it's going to be like pretty close. It's going to hit the spot.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying there's not too much variations, but I'm saying there's not too much variations between restaurants, kind of thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's also very like locationally based.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like, mm-hmm. so even within the Bay Area, certain pockets of like Chinese people live in different areas, right? Like, you have Taiwanese people that live in Cupertino, and not to get like political or calling them Chinese or Taiwanese, right? But like, if we're bundling and kind of like, it's more like Chinese / Taiwanese food, right? Because it's got very similar stuff, or like origins from the same areas, right? And like, so, but like, you got like a lot of Taiwanese food that's like in Cupertino. You have a lot of like mainland Chinese food, like all up and down the South Bay now, right? You still have your traditional like Cantonese, like, people and their restaurants here in like San Francisco and Oakland, and then you have like mixed bags everywhere else, right? And you, like, you can find them just about anywhere.
I feel like you guys just have like tiers for your food. Like, you have like for the, you know, the money saving, penny pinching people, and then you got like the, you know, the upper echelon of like gourmet Chinese dumplings.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot more prevalent in LA and New York.
New York too.
Yeah. LA and New York. Because, like, New York specifically, you can identify really, like, budget-friendly options. Like the steam table stuff. But they're, like, not just, like the steam table stuff we know. It exists out there. But they also have, like, because there's a lot of different Chinese people from different provinces. So their steam table options are a lot different. Like, they got, like, a lot of, like, bao places that are, like, you can buy stuff really cheap. Like, $1 or $2, get yourself, like, 2 or 3 baos. And they're different. They're not, like, just, like, the, like, pork cabbage or like the tasiu baos or like basic things. They're like from like Fujian province. They make their own style of things. And so there's a lot of variation depending on where in China and also where you are in the U.S. because that dictates a lot of migrational patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in L.A., you can kind of see like what Peter was saying earlier. Like there's tiers to different Chinese food because there's just so many Chinese people.
Mm-hmm.
And then so there's a lot of like higher end stuff there, banquet level type stuff, all the way down to like your $10 to $15 option to even like your $5 to $10 options, right? Like mm-hmm. it all differs and it's all like based on like this, like, is it a family run business? Is it like a big, like, you know, banquet style operation? There's just a lot going on with Chinese food. But yeah. Anything else y'all want to add to like Chinese food?
Oh no, what's your take on Chinese food? I know. You're Chinese.
Looking at me. Well, the whole tier thing is nice because, I mean, before Chinese food was always like bottom barrel, super greasy, super cheap. But now that it's more diverse, or people are knowing that Chinese food is more diverse and things are more, I don't know, people are more exposed to different things. And now there's different tiers to Chinese food. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So. And I think it's one of the only, I would say there's probably like three, like from what I know, three or four like Asian cuisines that have like the tiering. Like yeah. Chinese food.
Yeah.
And I would say that's probably like maybe Japanese, maybe mm-hmm. Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head that have like right. more of a tiering mm-hmm. or like levels.
They
to
do.
It.
They mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. So Chinese food, though, I forgot what I was going to say.
I think it's.
Or, yeah, I forgot what I was going to say.
Y'all so big. Y'all just have so many options, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. Yeah. China's really big. Say something for us
like rinky dinky, like jungle mm-hmm. Asians, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so many different types of Chinese food. So
yeah,
I'm glad it's not just like one type anymore. It's just a whole bunch of different cultures and people. Yeah, yeah, I mean, the whole dumpling thing, like everyone just wants dumplings now.
Mm-hmm. And also like, I feel like with Chinese food too, I think what's really unique about it is like, it's not separated from like, you know, like how, and I feel like when we get to the different, like different other Asian like foods, we could probably discuss this later, but like, for example, like quick example, like high tier Korean food to what we know it as here in the US, right? Like there's your regular Korean barbecue, like your Gan, your Food Elements, like whatever like Korean barbecue chain that's like local to you. Like there's that. And then there's like there's a new place. The name's escaping me right now. And if I remember, I'll put it in the description or something like that. But like that is like, it's just high-end Korean barbecue. So it's like, it's almost like you have the Korean barbecue, regular stuff, and then you just have like the high-end Korean barbecue, but still Korean barbecue at the end of the day, right? Whereas like Chinese food is like, it's like you have the foods that are known as like your cheap eats, and then you have food that is specific in banquet, right? Like Peter's always throwing out Peking duck for weddings, you know? Like, you don't get that.
What? No, me?
You don't get that in regular, like, selfish establishments, you know? Like, so I think that's kind of, like, what makes it vary a lot. It's, like, there's, like, dishes that are, like, specifically made at these high-end places that we associate it with as high-end. And then there's the stuff that you just eat the day-to-day. It's, like, your chow funs and your, like, chow mains. Like, I mean, you can get those at high-end restaurants, and they use high-end ingredients. But there's also, a whole plethora of food that is, like, specific for that occasion,
mm-hmm.
That requires it to be like a high-end establishment.
Yeah.
So there is like that aspect of Chinese food that is like very, I think that is more unique to the culture than like certain other Asian restaurants around.
Mm-hmm.
At least here in the
US. Reasonably priced too. I mean, Chinese food is getting a little expensive, but it's not like Korean food where they're charging you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An arm and leg for.
Yeah.
I love Korean food, but it's a little expensive.
Yeah, it is. But the thing with Chinese food is like we said, is like situational. I feel like mm-hmm. There's always a situation where you can enjoy Chinese food. You can have like a nice dinner, a nice date, or you can have like a wedding, or you can have like just mm-hmm. a takeout night in. But like with Korean food, it's more of like the quality of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of,
I guess it makes sense.
Blows up the cost of it. Right. Plus the service too.
Yeah.
Service, that's true.
So that's like one of the aspects of it. I know, you know, mm-hmm. Chinese food, you're not very known for service.
No.
Yeah, so don't count on it.
Yeah. Even at the banquet spots, we're not known for service.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but I feel like with Chinese food, it is like one of those things where you can get a big gathering of people and then like it could, because it's designed that way, mm-hmm. versus like a lot, like there are like places of like different like restaurants of different like Asian backgrounds, but they're not always all built to handle like having 10 people at a table,
like sharing a bunch of things, and we're all yeah, eating. Yeah,
the family style concept. Family style. I think it is a little different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not to say it don't exist, yeah. but it's a lot more prevalent in like Chinese like foods, and like it's just more known. Like even a lot of like other Asian groups, like when they need to hold something big, mm-hmm. they'll go to a Chinese banquet.
True.
Yeah, it's just easy, and it's generally affordable. I mean, $300 to feed like a table of 10 is nothing.
Yeah, it's like a 9-course meal for $300-$400. Like that's really good.
Yeah.
With
really good stuff.
Good food, yeah.
Good quality mm-hmm. stuff.
It's really good qualities.
All right. So moving on, let's just go around the table. Let's do Vietnam next, man.
Oh, then we just go mainstream to like Jungle Asian?
Hey, everyone say that. Vietnamese
jungle,
food.
Jungle Asian?
I mean, Vietnamese food in the U.S. is definitely taking a turn for the like in a good way, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more restaurants. I mean, we're known for more than our pho. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot of like noodle dishes, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think for, I don't want to categorize as jungle Asian because we say it, but like if I were to say like, you know, foods like Vietnamese food, Thai food, Filipino food maybe can categorize the same, but it's not like levels to it, right? There's mm-hmm. different variety, but they're all within the same situation, yep. right? Like you're not going to like a banquet hall for like Vietnamese food.
Right.
You're going to a restaurant. It's like maybe a family meal, maybe a day, maybe like just evening out kind of thing, right? Like it's all within the same price range. Pho, rice bowls, noodle dishes,
yeah.
Bún dishes, all that stuff, you know? So it's, I think it's different because it's like, I would say it's more on a comfort food level mm-hmm. compared to all the other ones.
Yeah.
And I'd say the same for like, probably like Thai food, Filipino food too, you know?
For sure. I think Vietnamese food has, I think from 2010 till now, within the Bay Area specifically, right? I think Vietnamese food is taking like a very interesting turn because I think there's a lot more exploration with like trying to make it more high end, right? You have restaurants like Gao, for example, like Gao Vietnam, where like they are like trying to take the regular concept of Vietnamese food in America and they're trying to upscale it, right? Offering different things, offering like the more premium stuff that you can even find, even like because they come from the same restaurant lineage as like Ben Tre, right? And even at Ben Tre, like there's things that you find there that you might only be able to find like somewhere like tucked away in like Grand Century in San Jose, which is like kind of hard to find. But it's like things that people I think are finally trying to break into with Vietnamese food because like we all know pho, and we all know like bún bò Huế, and we all know like vermicelli bowls and stuff like that, right? But it's like, I think that's just scratching the surface. And I think with certain restaurants really trying to break out of that mold and a lot more like also like on social media, I feel like people are talking more about like different like foods and stuff. Like they're always trying to find a way to find more about a certain culture and like certain foods. And it all kind of starts with food. So I think it's kind of like turning that point where it's like people are not to say tired of pho, but like they know about it already and they want to find out more. And I think there's certain restaurants that are catering to that. And I personally would love to see a trend of like restaurants opening up that does very specific things that people will kind of be into and yeah. be interested in.
I think it just depends on your level of like, I guess, exploration with mm-hmm. the food. Cause I know there's places that do pho in like Seattle that do like the big ass beef rib inside or whatever.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, I had some like other Vietnamese friends that goes and gets in. They're like, it's kind of whatever mm-hmm. because it just makes it very hard to eat,
yeah.
which kind of takes away the whole comfort in eating. So I think it's just whatever aspect you looked at it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like gatekeepy in any way, but it's just like you're kind of conditioned to think of it as like a comfort food, right? And then now you just got this big ass fucking dinosaur bone in your bowl and you got to like take it out and it's like weird to eat.
Yeah.
And you're like chomping it down. So it's like kind of messy. I was going to say, do we get a claim on like Cajun food too? Because, you know, that, we kind of run all that stuff in the San Jose. Hey, it's Vietnamese
Cajun.
People.
Yeah,
I don't know any Cajun yeah. places that don't have like a Vietnamese owner.
Oh, definitely.
And if they don't, it's probably not that good.
Hey, yo, no. y'all took that concept in like Texas and like Louisiana and like brought it to the Bay. So, I think your first Boiling Crab, I think, opened in LA, right?
I think so, yeah.
yeah
so,
and then like, it just came up here and then like it just.
To the Californias. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just we threw our own twist in it. We literally just fucking threw like oyster sauce, garlic, and noodles and just sold that shit as garlic noodles. Fucking scam.
I was telling Lauren
we can do. I guess we couldn't upscale Vietnamese food because I mean that's probably one of the biggest scams I know. Garlic noodles.
Or like there's things like what, like 7-course beef.
That's not
like
a scam, but it's like pretty good too.
Yeah, that's pretty
but it's good. Like, it's like beef. That's like to our level of like banquet food.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's 7 courses of beef.
It's like yeah, like 7 different like cuts of beef or like the way they make it. Like
But it's like but that's the thing. Like I think there's that element of Vietnamese food that could like that still has it's around, and I feel like either people that are close to the Viet culture or like and or Viet, like they're the only ones that really know about it, right? And it's like break into it. Like I'm waiting for that to like really explode and take off, and then like you know, and then just be able to dive deeper into another layer of Vietnamese food. I think that would be very fun. But it's there, it's coming. Mm-hmm. I think in the next few years, like it'll definitely be a bigger thing. Cool.
I think once more people are familiar with lemongrass and cilantro, that's the thing that keeps us like not elevated.
But people,
because
like
there's
lemongrass.
People that don't like cilantro. Hey. That's what keeps our people down.
I'm hurt.
that's the ones that.
Wait,
but the thing
wait
is, it's not like I taste cilantro the way you do. If you taste cilantro the way I do, you're also gonna be like, that's nasty.
I know, I get it, but I'm saying like it's you know we use a lot of cilantro and stuff. So for you know people that won't enjoy Vietnamese food because cilantro,
right? I see,
so
I
it's
see.
Like
you can always pick.
But
it
I'll make the counter argument that like especially here in California, Mexican food uses a lot of cilantro.
Yeah,
too.
So but this
that
is the market off. We can break in.
You know? I mean, the thing is with like Mexican food. I know this is not Asian, but Mexican food, their cilantro is so, like, because they have all the salsa and stuff, I guess it kind of breaks down all the
But we have, like,
flavor.
The pickled
hey,
carrots.
Vietnamese people, take note. Take note.
What are you, you're
I mean,
saying there's
you
no
drown,
flavor in our radish, our
the
carrot,
is,
the
like,
pate?
With salsa, if you drown all the cilantro with salsa, then you can't taste the cilantro anymore. Vietnamese, like, they like fresh cilantro. Like,
oh, that's true.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we don't
really just, like,
it.
Pick it off the garden.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I love Vietnamese food. I hate cilantro, but it doesn't stop me from eating Vietnamese food. I'll just pick out the cilantro. No problem. Or tell them no cilantro.
Yeah, Vietnamese you know? People don't listen, though.
They do. They listen to me.
Oh, really? Shit.
Yeah, I've like, no cilantro. Like, no cilantro? Okay. I think because, at least in San Francisco, maybe they're just used to people asking for no cilantro. And they're like, okay.
Mm. I guess it's a thing. It's almost like prepackaged. But not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for fun and stuff, I'm not going to ask for no cilantro. Obviously, it's part of, you know, they're going to put it in there. I don't care. I'll just not eat it.
Yeah. And then.
Not an issue. Cool.
Any other thoughts on Viet food before we move on to the next?
No, not really.
Cool, sweet. All right, so I'm going to do something slightly racist. I'm going to bucket these group of people.
Oh, my God.
I think it's because they don't have, there's not a big, at least here in the Bay Area, there's not a big population of them. They exist, and they're here, and they have businesses and stuff like that. I just don't think they have, like, the sheer numbers.
Is it not on like, your Asian roulette board of places to go eat?
No, they are. They definitely are. But even their restaurants are kind of like summarized. They're like bucketed, right? So like the Thai, Cambodian, and the Lao people. The Thai, Cambodian, Lao.
I see.
Yeah.
I never had Cambodian or Lao food. I've had Thai food, but I don't want to assume they all taste the same, but...
Can you throw Burmese in there too?
Burmese is a little different.
Thing with Burmese food is they actually have their own very distinct restaurants.
That's true.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. They're more exposed.
In San Francisco.
Yeah, in SF.
Yes.
So, yeah, listeners, I'm not racist. I'm not, like, trying to bucket and, like, what do they call that? Like,
I don't know.
When you marginalize. I'm not trying to marginalize any
painting with
here,
a broad
right?
brush.
It's just it just so happens that a lot of, like, Cambodian and Lao restaurants, there are, like, designated Cambodian and Lao restaurants. I know they are out there.
I just don't know where.
Specifically in SF. Right, it does get a little bucketed. I've had Cambodian food in San Jose, and I've had Cambodian food in San Leandro. Yeah,
okay.
Because the Cambodians are like sometimes they're like within the Viet community.
Yeah. That
and
makes
sometimes
sense.
They're like in, like for example, in the East Bay, they're kind of closer towards like Oakland and San Leandro.
Can you tell me what a typical Cambodian meal would look like?
I'm not a pro at it, and I don't want to butcher it.
Or just based off your experience in these restaurants?
The food that I've had, specifically for Cambodian food, it was very similar to like your Southeast Asian foods in general. Like the noodle soups, right? Like they're kind of similar in flavor profile. They use
like
rice
sauce,
noodles too.
Tamarind.
Yeah, fish sauce. I think the one I had was like a, it was instead of like imagine pho, but like, it was pork.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, there's again not the biggest pro at Cambodian food, but like satay flavors also I think are kind of like prevalent in their flavor profiles. But from what I remember, there was a lot of like grilling. I think there was like a lot of grilled pork stuff or like grilled beef, grilled meats in general, and like peanuts being used. Mm-hmm. That's again very broad.
Very broad. Yeah.
I think I have more. I don't have any like criticism on it. Whenever I had it, it was great and it tasted great. I think the one thing I would love is just like, I just wish there was more of it around. Like, mm-hmm. I wish there was like, you know, more that I can like more places I can frequent. But I get it. Like demand isn't always like there. I think a lot of it is just like they're not big, like widely known or like widely thought of whenever people want food. And that's maybe it's just like a thing in the Bay, or like at least in San Francisco.
Isn't Thai food in the Bay pretty big though?
Thai food, yes. Sorry, I was speaking about Cambodian and Laos.
Oh, okay.
But Thai food is big.
Yeah, because I was gonna say Thai is pretty big around.
I love
yeah.
Thai food.
Yeah, I would almost categorize it pretty close to Vietnamese food in terms of like tiering as well.
Thai like food it, has
like, my, although I'll say my understanding of Thai food is not the greatest because a lot of Thai dishes are spicy as fuck. Or they're just spicy and it's spicy as fuck to me because I have a low heat tolerance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can't enjoy it as much as everyone else because my tongue's fucking burning. But like it's super flavorful generally.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the noodle dishes, the pad thais, pad sees, the stuff people are more familiar with, right?
Yeah.
I know that's super popular in the Bay, East Bay, San Francisco. South Bay as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, fuck, man. Yeah. Thai tea, you can't.
Thai tea
is probably
Thai tea, mango sticky rice.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about Thai food. And so, Lauren and I, we recently went to a Thai restaurant and then we were walking there. So, like, we had a lot of conversation on the way back. And I was like, here's like Thai food. The thing is, I bucket Thai food and Indian food really similarly, actually. Because, like, Thai food is like, they have won the hearts of the white people. That's to put it in like the I think with my most American lens on, like they like just like Indian food, right? They have won the hearts of the white people.
Uh-huh.
And which is why like you can get away with selling Thai food for like $15 a plate for like pad see ew. But what is pad see ew? That shit's just chow fun. Like it's like made the same way. It's a little sweeter, and there's
you
different.
Cut that out with the slander,
right?
How dare you?
Right, but I mean, like the thing
are
is,
you saying you stole from the?
Oh, man.
Which came first?
Chow fun. We made the flat rice noodle. All right, like the Chinese people made it. I'm not gonna go there, but what I will say is, I think the Thai version of it. It's still delicious. Pad see ew is delicious, mm-hmm. and I recognize it for all it is. But I think what it is like in the market, in the American Asian American food market, it has like won like this place in like the white people's hearts because of like I think a lot of it has to do with like somewhat colonialism, like American colonialism, right? Like there's a lot of white people that tell me that they backpacked in Thailand. Like just too many fucking people like have told me like, yeah, like you backpacked through Asia. But whenever they say Asia, they really mean Thailand. And then, or they backpacked through India or they've been to India. They love yoga. They like, and I don't know like what about like Thailand and India? Like they just have this like mystery around it for white people, like they're just like, ooh, mystery. And then they like, but then they, you know, they like the culture, they like the flavor, they like, and they bring, and they're more generally receptive to it. And I think what Thai food does great at is like exploiting that in a way, right? Because you can like, again, you can sell, you know, pad see ew for $15, but will you spend $15 buying like beef chow fun? No, right? It's the same ingredients. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same ingredients. One's a little sweeter and one is sold by Thai people. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see it, but I applaud them and I salute them. Mm-hmm. Because Thai food is great, right? Like I think Thai food, that gave them a lot of room to explore. Like they have, of course, their like white people menu. Like, I feel like all Asian people, right? Like, all Asian restaurants have the white people menu.
Lunch menu?
Yeah. Lunch menu, yeah. Right? And so, like, of course, you have your pad thais, your pad see yous, your pad kee maos.
All
right?
The favorites, you know?
Yeah.
All the favorites is half portions and a bowl of rice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a
soup. The curries.
The curries. Yeah.
The yellow curry, green
curry.
The curries are good, yeah.
They are delicious. Thai food is delicious. And I think Thai food.
Like coconut milk.
They do good with eggplant, too.
Yeah. Thai food is like if you took Chinese food and Vietnamese food and made everything exponentially stronger flavor.
Yeah.
Like, curries are sweeter, saltier, spicier. I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
The only spicy ones I eat is like there's this Thai place where I used to go as a kid, and it's still there, and we'd always get the spicy duck fried rice. Oh, fuck.
Ooh, that sounds good.
My love for, you know, roast duck and, yeah, just roast duck in general. Just like overpowers the spice for
Dude,
me.
Thai
you know
people
what I mean?
Do duck real good.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Thai people duck is like, the same duck as Chinese people duck.
No, but it's like Thai barbecue
same,
duck.
But it's like with Thai flavors with duck, you know?
Okay, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I mean.
I feel like theirs is more like open flame and, you know.
I think they just bought it from the Chinese shop next door. And
they put it over the grill.
They probably did, to be honest. Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's fusion food.
I eat that
barbecue,
duck.
Thai people barbecue food.
That's true.
Very
that's
well,
true,
though.
That's true.
They do barbecue well.
They do the satay like, flavors
yeah,
very
satays,
well.
Yeah, satays.
Yeah, very
skewers,
well.
Skewers. All that stuff.
I am a fan.
Yeah. And I feel like every Thai restaurant is very nice, fancy looking.
True.
It's always like dim. It's like romantic.
It's you know, a lot of yellow views.
Reminds me of some white people restaurants.
Yeah, like, kind of.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's an aquarium with no fish.
Even King of Thai, which is like, you know, the not really bottom barrel Thai food, but you know, the typical.
Entry, I say entry.
Entry level.
That's very entry level.
Yeah, even their decor and their ambiance is really nice. Like,
yeah. But yeah. I mean, you ask any white guy in the Bay Area, in San Francisco specifically, you're like, hey, let's go eat Thai food. They're like, where? King of Thai? Like, that's the first thing they're going to say.
That's true, though. I mean,
yeah, or yeah. OSHA. If they're really expensive, they go to OSHA, whatever it is.
Is that the one on Ocean?
No, it's Chaba. Like in
or Chaba.
Oh, Marni no, Thai, Chaba. Those are also big ones.
Chomp Garden. That's what I was thinking of.
Chomp Garden.
Yeah,
they're.
I forget. What's
they also call themselves Cambodian/Lao.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so okay. You actually did have Cambodian/Lao food because I bought it there before.
Yeah, that was when I had a stomach ache on the first day of class.
Oh God!
Oh yeah!
Yikes!
Not that I'm bashing on them. It's just that you know.
Yeah,
sensitive stomach.
It was my stomach.
I thought the food was good.
I thought the food was good too. It was delicious, but I went to class and I was like, oh no.
we should have done this. Every category went through. We should have just said our favorite food from that category.
Ooh,
that would have been fun too.
Yeah, we can
not
do
too
a
late.
Recap later.
Yeah,
we can do a recap later. Or we can start now. And then we can recap the other two later.
Oh.
But yeah, I guess in terms of like Thai, Lao, and Cambodian food, I think for me, just to kind of sum it all up, I think Thai people keep doing y'all. Mm-hmm. Y'all clearly got the market. and then Cambodian, Lao, like I look forward to seeing more restaurants open up. That's all I got to say. Like I want more of that food. I like it personally. Every time I've gone, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I want more of it.
I want to see more of it.
Yeah. So I think that's my hopes and aspirations for that. Any other comments or you want to summarize thoughts?
No, I was going to say if you had to get rid of every other food in that category except one, what's the keeper?
But all the ones we talked about?
No, just in this bucket of Tyler's Thai, Cambodian, Laos.
Uh-huh.
If you had to get rid of every food item except for one.
If I had to get rid of every food item except for one? So like if I had to choose one food.
Yeah, so at the end of this, we're basically making a table of one item from each.
Oh, I see. One item that I like.
From each cuisine.
That I would
from
want.
Each cuisine. Okay, from each cuisine, you're picking one item. The rest is gone.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
That's tough.
And then you're basically making your dinner table spread right here.
That is hard.
That is hard. I think, I mean, I can't speak on Cambodian.
Some hard-hitting questions, you know?
That's hard.
Yeah,
we love food.
I'm going to skip out on the Cambodian and Laos just because I probably can't even name them. But for Thai food, I think... Curry. I'll keep curry. Everything else will go. I think Thai curry is phenomenal.
Okay, so you got curry on your dinner plate. Okay, you got curry on your dinner plate.
Yeah, I was going to say this. I really like Thai curry.
You going to say duck fried rice?
I was going to, but I'm trying to assess my whole dinner table after this because we already talked about Chinese food.
Yeah.
We already talked about Vietnamese food. For Thai food, I might have to keep the Thai tea because I don't think any other Asian region got a better beverage.
Honestly, I mean, it's
a better
true.
Beverage for my Asian spread.
I understand.
Yeah,
that.
I mean,
because Thai tea's anywhere else that's not made by a Thai person. It's not as good.
It's different. It's different. Plus, it's like, there's, I mean, I'm not saying all the other beverages. I'm not like, I'm forbidden meats food. I'm not going to just like, I'm not going to pick Jaya over anything else. You know what I mean? Like a Jaya Bat Mao, you know? Like, I'm not going to do that. And like,
hey, that's your fire.
It is, but it's like, well, I'd rather have that or a little Thai tea, though. You know what I mean?
You know.
Which one's kind of more refreshing with all the flavorful foods in Asian culture?
Okay, but you know Peter and he loves the Thai tea.
You know, I got to have my beverages.
He loves the Thai tea.
Damn.
All
right,
yeah, I
got to
have my beverages.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
And we can backtrack now. So okay, what's your Chinese and Vietnamese food then?
Okay.
So you can start making your spread and keeping track.
Vietnamese all food, right. Broken rice.
Okay.
Broken rice?
I love broken rice.
Just the broken rice?
No, not just the rice, but like, you know. Just
like a rice plate, right?
The rice plate.
Okay,
yeah.
I was like, you just want the rice?
No, the rice plate.
Okay.
I'm a, you know, can I just like categorize everything as boom and just
No. Because I have like six different boom.
I don't know. But that was my strategy, no.
Spa's technically like a boom.
Yeah. Hey, that was my strategy.
Everything's in rice or a noodle dish for us.
Damn, okay, yeah.
I would someone wouldn't have liquids.
For me personally, I love like a like a vermicelli bowl, like a bun tin nung.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's like fire with like the imperial rolls and stuff. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. See, my favorite part about the rice plates is the shredded pork.
Oh, the bee.
Is that what's called?
Yeah. Called bee. It's like the dry shredded pork. Right?
Yeah, it's so good.
And then you put the fish sauce on it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, fire. So yeah, I was gonna say I picked the rice plate too, but I'm not a big fan of broken rice.
Oh, okay.
I like the normal rice.
I mean, I feel like the
barbecue
kind of
rice plates.
Yeah,
it's not really a huge difference.
One's broken.
Well, yeah, one is broken, but like it's not.
It's like okay, how I explain it is like. It's a texture though.
Yeah.
It's like,
texture.
Would you rather eat a pancake or a mini pancake?
Oh, I guess.
You know, and I'm not a big fan of mini stuff, so.
So you don't want mini rice. You want.
But
you want whole
it's
rice.
Like after a while, it gets mushy to me.
Oh, does it?
For me,
yeah.
Because I'm dousing that shit.
I mean,
fish
then
sauce.
Again, you yeah. I also don't eat it very often either. So
yeah.
Makes
so sense. Texturally wise, I like the normal rice because with all the meats and stuff, and there's a lot of stuff going on, so
I'll choose that. Yeah.
And I feel like with broken rice, you have to like make it drier in order for it to actually be good.
Do you?
Not necessarily, but it's like the scoops just feel so wrong to me. I don't know. It doesn't get
rice
on my spoon
broken,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What are we doing for Chinese food?
So many Chinese food.
I think the one food that I will keep is Chinese barbecue. Cantonese style Chinese barbecue.
Oh.
You can't
I mean,
wrong
you guys
with
already
that.
Know my answer.
Peking
you think that Peking duck platter, bro, with the bows?
Little
green
right
onions
now,
and the
it's
cucumbers.
Like, there's just too much going on in there.
Like,
I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
I already like pre-thought of this. This is like, already manifested as the Peking duck I'm saving.
I don't know.
Oh, shit. Actually, I forgot about clay pot rice.
Ooh. I might go with clay pot rice.
Hell good. I might go with clay pot rice. But I locked in my answer with the Chinese
pot. I already
doubled down with the duck.
All right, clay pot rice is the one. That one is.
I'm over here. I got cha siu. I got roast pork. I got.
Oh, you just pick just
duck.
Chinese barbecue
just
general.
Yeah, just
general.
Chinese barbecue just general.
Yeah,
I need the banquet with the bows.
The bows.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and
those
the
are
sauce.
Good.
I need that. I need that whole thing.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Table for one.
It's too bad our next wedding though. We don't get that.
He's it's funny. He
that.
Said he listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I'm going because I'm obviously we're going to a wedding and I was. Say I've made Chinese friends to have the Peking duck.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? Since we're not having it, I'll take you out for Peking duck one day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Hey, can I be invited?
Well, you're going to the wedding too without Peking duck, so.
Yeah.
We should all be invited, you know?
Well, you know.
He should have just got Peking duck for his wedding.
He
maybe
just
you guys
me.
Should have manifested duck into your Chinese friends. You know, this is my long con.
I kind of just assumed. You know,
this is my
I kind of just assumed. I assumed, so.
Hey, for what it's worth, I will for sure make it a priority to put duck on that menu.
For just
on yours?
You.
Yeah.
Just for you,
better.
My maid of honor.
Yeah.
What?
Anyways. All right, let's move to the next country.
What's the next country? I'm trying to build out my table now. I'm just gonna,
right. Let's go fun. To, let's not forget our Southeast or South Asian brethren. Let's loop in the Indians.
Okay.
All right. Indian folks and food. Nah, folks. We're not talking about Indian folks. That's racist. Indian food. Also, like I mentioned with the Thai food, right? They won the hearts of the white people. They ain't got
very
nothing to worry about.
Very flavorful. Very easy to eat.
Very flavorful.
I want to say easy to eat, but there's some dishes are very easy to eat.
Yes. It can be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, like, sure.
Like, we're talking about curries and...
Right, chicken tikka masala.
Tikka masala.
Those are generally...
Like, that is some very entry-level stuff. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, chicken. I think I'm pretty entry-level when it comes to Indian food.
Me too. Yeah. I've never really, like, delved into, like, true Indian food other than the typical stuff. Maybe because I just don't eat it very often in general. Yeah. I don't really...
I try to, but I'm not going to lie. I think because, like... I've always made the comparison that like Southern Chinese food and Indian food are the polar opposites of what food are. Like yeah. Indian food is like the heavily like spice that's all about kicking your taste buds yeah. and like just putting any like strong flavor into the food. Whereas like Southern Chinese food is all about you use your taste buds, you refine them to taste the naturalness of the food that you're cooking with. And like sauces and things and like seasoning is like minimal.
It just enhances the natural yeah. flavors. Yeah.
Right. So like when I eat Indian food though, I feel like my mouth is just confused. Like everything just tastes like either like cumin or like some sort of curry mix or some sort of like spicy seasoning. It's like it tastes great. I just don't know what I'm looking for. But I think in terms of like the marketplace, the Bay Area or like the American marketplace here, I think Indian food has like, again, nothing to worry about. They can mm-hmm. like price their food very high in the market. And I think as a business model, they'll run great like the Thai people. I think they might also be, but they might be stuck in this momentum, right? Like if you're not in Fremont, you're not finding anything outside of chicken tikka masala or like naan and curry or some other Indian foods that are just escaping the name.
Butter chicken.
Oh, butter chicken yeah. or like curries of sorts, right? Like dal, you know, things like that. Like the very yeah. common stuff. Like
yeah.
you're not really finding that outside of like Fremont. So kind of wish there was more variety, something new to come up.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's pretty hard to find in the San Francisco area. I don't recall ever getting Indian food while I was up here for college.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, from where I'm at, I'm like in a pretty dominant Indian location as well as pretty close to Fremont. So mm-hmm. it's funny, our neighbors drop off Indian food all the time. So super nice of them. And it's just that's like, nice. You know, we down it. It's like delicious. So
yeah.
I can't speak about the culture in San Francisco, but like the East Bay, there's a lot of places.
Yeah.
A lot of good places. If I were to pick almost like a second beverage, I don't know, mango lassi is pretty good.
Ooh, mango lassi.
Never
a little
had
mango
that.
Lassi. Oh,
I got to find a so bathroom good. Quick, though, after a mango lassi.
I need to find a bathroom quick after Indian food. That's a different story. But I also have a weak stomach for spices. So,
it's
and you know,
heavy,
Indian food
though.
Is like very heavy and creamy.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of spice to it. So mm-hmm. that's it. It kind of goes right through me.
Yeah. But it's the creaminess, though.
It's the like, creaminess for sure. Because they, you know, yeah. Like yogurts, dairies, stuff. Mm. Not like dairies in general, but like yogurt dishes.
Do they put yogurt in there?
I think it's a base for a lot of the sauces, no?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually have like a lot of Indian pizza places too. So
mm-hmm. Right.
It's funny. My neighbors have like these parties and they always bring over leftover pizza. So it's always a good time. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice of them.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of tofu on pizza though. Just saying.
Tofu
just throwing
on
out
pizza.
There.
That's a weird one.
But it's like, imagine like all the essence and flavors of like curries or like Indian food ooh, into a pizza or like a chicken tiki masala pizza. Uh-huh. Like they brought that over sometimes. Ooh. It was pretty good.
That sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah. But I think if I were to pick like my favorites, probably like lamb curry and naan. Just like something ooh, simple.
Lamb curry naan.
Because like
good.
Their lamb is like, it's, I mean, it's like the curry spice, right? But then it's like one of the dishes where, because lamb is such an overpowering flavor mm-hmm. that you can still taste the lamb in the curry. So it's like a good mix, you know, with yeah. like, Tyler said earlier with like the chicken dishes, like you don't really get like the texture, the flavor of the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, you're very unlikely to find beef in like Indian food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Hindu.
Yeah.
They don't. Oh, Hindu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think lamb is like a good alternative mm-hmm. or my preference there.
Yeah. I think like lamb and any sort of cumin based seasoning mm-hmm. or spicing is like, I don't know, like match made in heaven type pairing. Like, I think that's why like lamb and curry works really well. It's because like there's like some elements of like cumin and it just gets enhanced and like lamb works in like those types of like flavor profiles.
Yeah. But you really got to like the lamb stink though. I know a lot of people that are like very off put by lamb.
Yeah, I used to be very off-put by lamb, but yep. It's because Chinese people don't know how. Like, Southern Chinese people, when we make lamb, again, we're trying to emphasize that flavor. And if you don't like it, you're not going to like it.
True.
I think as I grew up, I started getting more used to the lamb. But there's still things like I'm not great with mutton and I'm not good with goat, which is like, to me, lamb on like flavor profile wise, like lamb, but like really exponentially stronger. So I can't stand goat cheese.
I can't stand goat cheese either.
Yeah.
Or goat yogurt.
Or goat yogurt, right? Goat products cannot do. Goat meat cannot do. Mutton, too strong for me. But lamb, it's okay. But yeah, any sort of like human mix, I think goes great in like Indian food and like and stuff like that. Yeah. So I guess to summarize though, with like Indian food, wish there was more variety in SF. Most likely can't find variety anywhere else.
Go a little bit more south for sure.
Yeah. Fremont, Hayward, like down there. Yeah. Definitely variety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to diversify my Indian food tasting.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I don't eat much other than tikka, what's it called? Chicken tikka masala and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just don't come across it very often.
There's not too, I don't know if there's not too many. I mean, there's not too many, but also the people I'd say we met in college aren't very, not very knowledgeable in Indian food either.
Yeah.
I think some of the friends that kind of came up were like LA, maybe from here and stuff. So it's not like that was like very wide experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, like my whole block, all my neighbors are basically like Indian. And all the people I like grew up with too. So it's like I'm very familiar with like the smells, the flavors and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, neighbors, we've been living next to them for like forever. So we still have that dynamic.
That's
so,
cool.
Nice.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Cool. Moving on to the next country, we have, just off the top of my head, Philippines. And I'm a bucket this one up too. Again, not trying to be racist or marginalizing folks. It's just, there's a ton of Filipinos up here, right? But then, you know, island nations stick together. So I'm gonna put Filipino and like Indonesia.
Jesus.
Indonesia?
And Malaysians.
Oh my God. Just
no way. You can't bucket them together.
I feel like the food flavors are so different.
They are very different, right?
Yeah, true.
One's very sweet and savory, and the other one's more savory and spice, no?
A little bit. So I think, the Philippines, I'll separate this one out. So like Indonesia and Malaysia, though, are like they share a lot of similar foods, and they share a lot of similar I think they also share some issues with like in America as like being like, you know, representation wise. Right. Because like the thing with like Malaysians, though, it's like there's such a wide variety of people in Malaysia. You have Chinese Malay, you have Indian Malay, you have Native Malay. And then like you bucket them all into like one group, which is Malaysians.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think the group that comes out here and the group that we're familiar with are the Chinese Malays. And they make their restaurants here, but there's not that much of them. Same thing with Indonesians. Like, they are here. They might not all be running restaurants. So I think there's just here, like, there are Indonesian restaurants, but a lot of times they could also be bucketed. So, like, some of our favorite, like, Malaysian spots sell Indonesian food, like nasi goreng. And then, so, like, it's just it becomes a blend, right? It's similar to like how when I think when you ask like how come there's no like Egyptian food here, and I'm like, it's not that there isn't, it's just they can't market themselves as like Egyptian food, so they just bucket themselves and call it Mediterranean. Like they exist, they're out there, they have very similar flavor profiles, but if you were to say you were a Mediterranean restaurant versus an Egyptian restaurant, what do the white people see? You know, like they know Mediterranean, so they're going to gravitate towards that. So same thing with like the Malaysians and like the Indonesian type foods. It's like, I think it just gets bucketed a lot. So you have like Malaysian/Thai/Indonesian food, like restaurants that sell them like all these different stuff. I wish we had enough people here to like just make distinct restaurants and to specialize in their foods. But I just think they're in a time where like there's not that many of them. And even right now, like Malaysian food is probably the biggest of that group. And there's not that many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are around are, I think, are great, like Banana Island.
Mm-hmm. Or
Ipoh. Ipoh.
Banana Island.
There's a couple of like Malaysian spots that are around, and I think they do great. So keep it up, I guess.
They're also on the more expensive side, too.
They are, but because they can be. They have not won the white man's eye. Like,
they have not?
Yeah.
But then they're still expensive, though.
They're expensive because there's not that many of them around. Oh, so I even see. Other Asians will want that food, but they can sell it at whatever price they want. It's sense. Like the Koreans. Mm-hmm. But I'll get there when we get there. When we get to their country. But so that's my ending notes on like Malaysian and Indonesian food.
A quick briefing.
Mm, there's just not that many around. So we can't make it?
I can only think of Banana Island now.
Exactly, right?
I do like Malaysian food.
They do mangoes
though,
well.
But yeah, sounds kind of good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that still around?
Banana Island, yeah. Mm-hmm. We haven't been in a while. Well, the last place we went to
Hainanese chicken. Ooh.
Was Ipoh.
The roti.
Oh. Ooh, the roti is good. Oh, roti's good.
I can eat that thing for days.
Dude. I would just eat the roti straight up.
Straight up.
And then drink the curry straight up.
Just sip it.
They're so good separate too, though, you know?
Yeah, you know. Put it in a cup.
You chase the roti with the curry.
No, you like rip up the roti. You leave it in there to like let it soak in. Ooh. Oh.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
We should just go there next time.
Maybe,
All right. Moving on. Okay, we're going to go to the Philippines. We're going to keep the Philippines as their own thing. Because, I mean, there's a good amount of Filipinos here.
We're going to talk more about Filipino food. It's not just Jollibees, guys.
It's not just. It is not just about Jollibees. Good, though. But.
I think RIP to the owner of. What's that? The guy.
37?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off Fruitvale?
Yeah.
Yeah, so RIP to him. Really unfortunate what happened.
Yeah. The owner, people came in the shop. Some people say it's like a robbery attempt. They shot him in front of his son. Aww. Super sad. Now there's stories coming out. It's like he bought a truck from his family friend or family. Truck ended up being like stolen or something. So there's a lot of things going on, but the sad part is this guy got shot in his restaurant in front of his kid.
Wait, which
fun.
Restaurant? This is Jollibee restaurant?
No. It's like a Filipino restaurant
in Oakland.
That's sad.
Oakland Fruitvale.
Yeah, it's a RIP. For guys, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but just know that we hear y'all. But yeah, it is pretty sad to hear about that. And because he was also like really trying to promote Filipino food in Oakland, which there's not. In Oakland specifically, not that many Filipino restaurants. I think when you start going out towards like Vallejo, of course, Daly City, Union City, you start having a lot more like Filipino restaurants that are a lot more noticeable, right? Because like those are the centralized communities here in the Bay Area. And I think within the Bay Area, Filipino food has a pretty strong holding right now. Like there are high end, like there's different tiers, kind of like Chinese food. There's different tiers of like Filipino food that's being out there and being presented out there, and they are like thriving. There is a restaurant in the North Beach area called Abaca. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it or even saying it right, but it's like Abaca, C-A. and like it's like a high-end Filipino food designed to be high-end. There's also like I've been to like a tasting and also in like Soma, where like traditionally that's where like the Filipino community was in San Francisco. Also a couple of like high end, like newer restaurant like tours that are like from Filipino backgrounds. And they are, you know, trying to really promote their culture, promote their food, putting it in front of the, like any audience, Western audience, any, as long as they, like, I think that's a step that's really needed, especially with given like how big of a group they are here in the Bay Area. I think next to like they either more than Chinese people at this point, or we're like at a very similar number in terms of population. So it's really cool to see that they are now trying to like really expand out there. And I think like Filipino people are just very more like creative when it comes to their food than like the Chinese people. Like, cause like we have a formula, we kind of stick to it, and we know like this is banquet food, this is that. And it's hard for us to really like, there are people that do branch out, of course, but then like, I feel like now it's almost like anyone's like game to like take advantage of what Filipino food was and make it into what it should be. So that's kind of cool to see.
I think on a base level, it's simple. Like maybe it's barbecue meats and it's meats, right? It's, a lot of it is meats. So I think what I was going to say is like from the East Bay, I mean, of course, there's a lot of Filipinos in the East Bay as well. But kind of going to San Francisco for school, you definitely notice a lot more culture here.
Yeah.
And one thing I'll say is like Filipino food, specifically in the Bay Area, they're probably like the kings of fusion food. Like I feel like out of all the genres of like Asian food, they do fusion food the best.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like the food just goes well with whatever you kind of fuse it with or whatever cultures you do. I mean, you kind of see it kind of come here. You know, there's a lot of food truck culture.
Right.
You know, you got Senior CC.
Senior CC, yeah.
And that's like always been like the top dog around here until they did me like a brick and mortar.
Yeah.
I don't know about like food truck culture now, but I mean, that was always like winning. Every time you go to like Off the Grid or any food truck areas, bro, their line was like fucking out the door.
Yeah.
There's no door, but it's out the door.
It's out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to all the other fusion, it's just like they won, you know, they won that fight.
They know.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with their like their cultural standpoint in the Bay, right? Like I would say of the Asians, they're probably the most vocal Asian group out there, right? They go out there, either if it's for like activism, they're out there. If it's for just like cultural exchange, they're out there. I think they make themselves known in a lot of their like communities. And like, I think even within media, like all the popular Asians are like a lot of them are Filipino, right? Like you got rappers that are Filipino, you have actors, actresses, you even have athletes now that are like part Filipino. And then of course with like boxing and like that, like those being like bigger sports and being out there, like they're being represented pretty well for Asians. And I think like now like their food is also kind of like being put out there more. Like it used to be a very like communal thing. Like Filipino people would eat at Filipino restaurants. Like it was very like, not a lot of people really knew about it. Like we kind of knew it existed. If you grew up in that area, you knew that they are there. Right. Like if you grew up as like, I don't know, a Chinese American, but you grew up on like the borders of like Daly City, like you know that there are certain restaurants that are there that are Filipino restaurants. But like for me, for example, like growing up in San Leandro, we didn't really have a lot of Filipino restaurants. So all the Filipino food I was exposed to was like when I went to a house party. Right. And so like that's when I started like knowing like, oh, like Filipino party foods, right? You got your pancit, you got your adobo, you got your lumpia, of course, right? Like all these like basic stuff. That was kind of like my first like view of what Filipino food was, and I was like, this shit looks Chinese too.
Lumpia, bro. I remember when I had lumpia for the first time. I was like, is this not just an egg roll and sweet chili sauce?
Yeah.
Hey, yo, this shit kind of looks Chinese too.
Well, when I first had pancit, I was like, this is just pancit. Yeah.
Pancit or like pancit canton, pancit palabok, all this stuff, sinigang, like. All Sinigang, these,
yeah. Well, right. That's not really. I didn't really associate that with Chinese.
Oh no, sinigang's not Chinese.
Yeah, like,
that is pretty.
That's
Filipino.
Pretty Filipino.
Yeah, but like adobo, right? Like, damn, y'all just made like soy sauce meat and just put vinegar, but it's like it's y'all's. Like, run with it, you know. And so like I thought that was always kind of like cool to see, but that was like my first look at Filipino food, right? And then when we came out here for college, I think that's when we started exploring more because like we're so close to Daly City. So you have like places like
only one I can
grill.
Remember is like Silog's because it was the only thing open
Silog's.
After the club.
That was good though.
It's the only thing open after the club. So that's like
yo, Lucky Chances though.
Lucky Chances. Also the only thing open after the club.
There's another one in a plaza. I forget where it wasn't Daly City. I think it was farther down.
I know there's Phil-Am.
Oh,
Phil-Am's so good too.
What we're talking about? We went with one friend. I think I was on crutches at that time.
Oh, we went to Chibog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chibog is good. They are super like...
That's the first time I had sinigang when we went there.
Yeah, they're super like Filipino. Like that is like, oh, I love Chibog.
Fellow garlic lovers.
Yeah.
So good.
Garlic soy sauce and like vinegar is like the base of Filipino cuisine. And I love it.
They had that shrimp paste thing too. That was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of like familiar ingredients, right? A lot of familiar cooking styles. I always thought of Filipino food as like the soul food of Asia because of just how they cook things. It was like everything was 110% about soul. Mm-hmm. Like very similar to even things like what was very similar to things like, sorry, I'm so distracted. What's happening? What just happened?
It was playing from someone's Google Chrome.
It's not mine.
Did someone cast something?
Maybe, but I don't know who cast it.
Who cast something in Chinese?
Yeah, who cast something in Chinese? Well, remind me, I got to edit this part
out.
Yeah,
you got to edit this part out.
But I was, as I was saying though, yeah, I think just like the way that food was like cooked and like, at least from what I've seen in like restaurants and stuff, right? You know, things that are fried, things that are heavily seasoned, things that are like, it really just reminds me of like soul food in the US, right? Like you got fried chicken, you got mac and cheese, you got like collard greens, right? But in the Philippines, you got garlic fried rice, you got lechon, and you got like all these other foods. But yeah, soul food of Asia is what I call it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh shit. All right, what's the next country for? Yeah. I think we have two big ones that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. Two big ones.
What's the time looking like?
We're an hour in, so we could do a part two, or we can keep running. Let's do a part two, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's still two big ones.
Yeah. There are two pretty big ones. But yeah, in terms of this episode, you know, like, do you have any other, you know, finishing comments that you want to put? I mean, we went through a lot of Asia today.
We went through a lot, yeah. And we're still gonna have a part two.
Not enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes me hungry.
Yeah,
kind of, but not really, because we just ate.
Yeah, I'm not really hungry, but thinking about all that food just makes me want to eat.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can go for another acai bowl.
Oh god,
I'm very Asian though.
I kind of want Jollibee.
Jesus.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want it now, but Jollibee sounds kind of good. I haven't been to Jollibee in so long, or just Filipino food in general. I haven't really had Filipino food.
Man,
since.
We said Filipino food is more than just Jollibees. And then
I know.
Bring up
I'm saying. I'm talking about
racist.
Yeah, because
you just say I want filam.
I want filam. I want to go to that one place. What was it called again?
Chibok.
Yeah, there.
You want to go back to Chibok?
I don't mind.
That place. I feel like every time I leave there, I'm like basically gonna walk out with a heart attack.
Yeah, like I'll have major food coma.
Yeah.
If you want some senior CC.
Ooh.
Senior CC. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Well.
Anyways, so I guess we're gonna go forget another round of food, but you know where to find us, guys, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Not Twitter, sorry. Instagram and Facebook, we're there. Keep up with us. Make sure you follow us on www.talkshopcast.com. And until next time, guys, stay tuned for part two. See ya.
Bye.
Toodles.